Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. We are live in studio again this week with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones, leading our discussion from her book, Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Shelley.
Great to have you.
Good to be here on this glorious day.
Yes, in this holy week of holy weeks, no less.
Yes.
We are approaching one of the biggest events of Christian history. I know you haven't prepared for this question, but how do we prepare for the resurrection, Lori Beth?
Oh, I think it's about hope and springtime and new leaves budding and things are green that once seemed dead. The resurrection is the theme of earth and life, and certainly Jesus embodies that for us.
Beautiful. Well, that question leads me to the space that we're going to talk about today in this chapter in your book, Teach Your Team to Fish. We're in the release section of how Jesus led his team. And obviously, this chapter is, I think, it just worked out great that, that it fell into this week. But the title of this chapter is He Didn't Yell Cowards as the Crowd Departed. And the leading passage leading us into the discussion is Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. What a sample, what an example of a time when you would want to yell at everybody around you, right? A time of aloneness and abandonment and just utter, not knowing,
right,
what's going to happen. As we jump in here, obviously you're going to take us down that track, but I love how you open this chapter in the way that only you open chapters, with humor. We were talking in the pre-show just a little bit about your laughter. I mean, I can just hear you reading these words about Barnacle Bill and Betty and Edwina and Albert. You know, people on our teams that for some reason in the middle of the night, they're just poof, gone, and they left a note on the refrigerator. talk to us about this leadership space of, when you raise the curtain and half of the cast is gone.
Well, I think Jesus certainly experienced that with the betrayal, and everybody ran except for John and the women, according to Scripture. But he wasn't about making people wrong. He was about including them in the dialogue and bringing them back home. So many of his stories are come back home, the prodigal son. And so as a leader, we have to know that not to lean on reeds, that people are going to let us down. The question is, are we going to be in that departing crowd, that says, this is just too tough for me? I've been enjoying watching reruns of The Office, and Michael is just such a ludicrous boss. He loves his staff, but he doesn't quite know how to handle them. And there's one scene where he's talking to a woman, a new HR director, and he says, well, I don't want my team to feel that they are only here because of their job performance. He says, we are a family. And so when it comes time to cut the health care benefits, he delegates it to somebody else and just makes himself scarce, because he knows it's going to be very unpopular. And some of the teams start making up diseases to try to be covered. And it's just so funny and real. And he just did not want to be there for the hard questions. And he tells the team that he's going to have a surprise for them at the end of the day, and they're all standing there like little children waiting for the surprise, and he can't think of one. He's trying to make the news not bad, you know? So it's just a delightful sitcom, but it's so real. And as a leader, I think sometimes I've been like Michael, you know, I delegate the hard stuff and try to make myself scarce and want to come back with the good news, you know, want to bring a surprise to people. And I know what it's like to have to fire somebody or let somebody go or make a decision that this partnership, you know, this business relationship is just not working. And how do you do that with grace and dignity, and not make it about them? One of the things I've learned through counseling and being counseled is that everybody sees themselves as the hero in their own story.
Right.
And when you understand that, the fact that you see them as a coward has nothing to do with how they see themselves. Hmm. So it's a hard lesson to learn, but one that I think is very valuable.
Wow. You talk about this, the fear that we all have, you know, probably in the deepest part of our being is this fear of being abandoned and, you know, being left alone or, wow. I think you talked this week a little bit about it's a lonely place for leaders, for managers, for people that are leading teams. Sometimes you're in this space of feeling abandoned or feeling alone or feeling like, you know, you're out in the boat with the oars yourself. Talk to us a little bit about this space that a leader's in, Lori, you know, and how you navigate those waters when, you know, Barnacle Bill and Betty jump out of the boat, swim to shore, and you're left there.
Well, it gets back to being clear about your mission and what you came here to do. You know, the bumper sticker, God plus one equals a majority. And that's the philosophy I believe you have to have, in the sense of being clear about what you came here to do and not listening to the madding crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Let
so
them howl. Go ahead, what?
Yeah, so we can't be surprised when these things happen. I think this week you were talking on Twitter a little bit about don't take it personal. You know, how do we not take it personal when these things happen? You know, how, you know, we're not Jesus. You know, we can't just pretend that, okay, this didn't hurt, this wasn't painful, you know, I'm going to carry on.
Right. Well, we're all, you know, we are flesh and blood and we're spirit and we're a series of neural connections in the brain that are, you know, pattern association. And we are also divinely created. So when we can tap back into that eternal connection, then we don't take the little irritations and annoyances as being so serious. Certainly Jesus did not. You know, they whipped him and killed him and nailed him down. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He told them, tear down this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it again. The little girl was dying. He said, she's not dead. She's asleep. He had this total otherworldly vision of reality that is so different from what we get stuck in.
Wow. Very, very powerful. So I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago. Obviously, Jesus was very attuned to his personal mission. And I think you were starting to, you know, unpack that a little bit. What was Jesus's mission? You know, as the crowds departed, he was there alone to face, you know, Gethsemane and the cross and, you know, all those scenes that followed. What was his mission? What was he thinking?
He said that he came to bring life to give life and give it abundantly. So what he came to do was help people live abundantly, eternally. And so we can tell his final words, you know, his final words were, "It is finished. Into my hands I commit my spirit." What was finished? You know, it wasn't his life. It was the ability to say, "I did it. I did what I came here to do. I've said everything you sent me to say." So it's this profound connection of him and his father that is this self-propelling machine, if you will, that that sustains itself regardless of circumstances.
Wow. Well, obviously, you have written a book on that, about personal mission and your mission to change the world through personal mission, I think is evident in most of the work that you do. Wow, there's like a million things running through my mind right now, and the one that sticks out is, you know, what I've often heard you say about mission is that it is a sword. It acts as a sword to cut away things that are not necessary. I've heard you say that it's the difference between the light of a candle and the light of a laser. Wow, how powerful, you know, when we look at this example of a leader, the Omega leader, using his personal mission to, you know, to conquer some places in leadership that we all face. You know, I think that is a very tangible way, Lori Beth, to help us. You know, I think that's a beautiful mechanism to help us not look at the crowds as they're leaving us stand alone and say, "You bunch of cowards, where are you going? You know, could you not just stay here for one more week, or, you know, one more month, and then take off, you know?"
Right.
Wow, it's so easy for us just to kind of resort to the fleshly feeling. And what I get you saying in this chapter this week is, don't take it personal. Do not take it personal.
Well, yes, because it isn't about you. It's about them and their journey. And the ultimate important question is, are you doing what you came here to do? You can't be responsible what they're doing for what they're doing or not doing.
Right. So when the disciples couldn't stay awake long enough to, you know, pray for a few hours, and Jesus says to them, you know, could you not stay awake for a little bit? He was not really concerned about them.
Well, I think he was, in that instance, certainly he wanted their companionship. And I think he was also teaching about discipline and working through the hardship of falling asleep when things get hard, because that's another way of abandonment, is you just go to sleep.
Yeah.
Or you don't wake up. It's not always the act of running away. It's like the Song of Deborah, when she said that, I guess it was the tribe of Reuben, one of the tribes said, there was much searching of heart. You know, why did you stay on your ships?
Hmm.
They were deeply in prayer, or maybe asleep. But whatever it was, they were not taking the action that was necessary to make a difference.
Right. Well, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If we could just utter that particular passage, that text, and be reminded of our personal mission to stay on track as leaders, as followers of Christ, then we might not be as quick to call people cowards that are jumping ship. Thank you so much, Lori, for this lesson today. For writing this material, keeping it in front of us to think about and to chew on and to dialogue, it's just great. Great stuff. Powerful stuff. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Shelley, and blessings to you in this holy week. And to all our listeners, may there be a true resurrection in your daily living and in your soul as well.
Indeed. Indeed. Happy Easter, Lori, and we'll talk to everyone next week. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.